Good Vosh, what's over? We'll begin in approximately 3 minutes. Just to get some background of what we're going to be discussing tonight, we're going to be discussing Minhag Ashkenaz. No, that is not Nuslach Ashkenaz, that is Minhag Ashkenaz, which is German Jewry, which is Din Yekshenufach. It's going to be part one of a series, and tonight's question is going to be the differences between Minhag Ashkenaz and Nusach Ashkenaz. Stay tuned. Begin momentarily. All right, so tonight's shiur to finish Ranzo, Kasef Shmuel Shmakah Ben Yitzchak, and Refuah Shleima for Besoch Shaar Cholei Yisrael. Unfortunately, there are so many cholim with the uptick in coronavirus. So this again, what is the difference between Nofer Ashkenaz and Minhag Ashkenaz? So we're going to focus on Minhag Ashkenaz. There are a lot of differences. Minhag Ashkenaz is, of course, the German Nusach, and this is going to be a 5 to 6 part series, if not more. They are mamish rooted in tradition. So, I'm going to go a little bit forward in time, and then we're going to discuss post the 1490s, around 1500, and then we'll scale back. So, you notice a lot of German Jews, although some do not, and again, we're going to get into why some do not wear talis. A lot of German Jews wear a talis, and based on a thesis on the history of Minhag Ashkenaz of Wittenberg by Dr. Ephraim Kahnwagel, he writes that the reason for this is because a lot of the influx of German Jewry came from Spain and Portugal roughly around between 1300 and 1525. The Spanish Inquisition began in 1492. So you're talking 7 years after the Inquisition, and in 1515, a man by the name of Rabbi Ephraim Hirsch, whose great-great-grandson was the famed great-great-great-grandson was the famed Samson Raphael Hirsch. Rabbi Ephraim Hirsch started a shul called Beit Avraham in Frankfurt. where a lot of where it was a minhag Ashkenaz, sure, with a Sephardi twist. One of the Sephardim who came into minhag Ashkenaz, to Germany, to Ashkenaz, really, as anyone who davens in a Nusach Ashkenaz, sure, the davens in a Sephard or Sephardi, the davens in an Ashkenaz, sure, you keep some minhagim, but there's always an influx, especially in those days where minhagim went based on the town you lived in, not like we have nowadays in America, which is basically a melting pot. See? And therefore, there's a lot of minhagim changed based on the town you are currently in. That's why a lot of people post-Holocaust do not remember a lot of the minhagim, because as they went from town to town to town, the minhagim changed a little bit. That's how things worked pre-Holocaust. That being said, the thing about wearing a tallis, that stayed. Now, there are German Jews who don't wear a tallis, and that's because a lot of German Jews trace back to between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. But one of the famed rabbis in Germany was the Rosh. The Rosh was a big mefarash. A lot of people hold by the Rosh as a halachic guide. The very famous mefarash commentary in the Torah. And the Rosh was one time asked by a newsletter, by a newspaper, believe it or not, people wrote on newspapers in those days. There were no smartphones. I believe telegrams were not invented yet. Even telegrams were invented in 1400. This is roughly 10, 11, right around the time of the Crusades. And the Rosh said that one of the things that were great about living in Germany was that Germany was rooted in tradition, rooted in hashkafa, and rooted in halacha. And this is, again, pre-1492. So what exactly did Judaism look like? So if you look at the Rambam's Mefarish on Tfilah, he writes that during the week, Tfilah should be at least an hour, and Adon Olam should be sung after davening, which is very rare, if not completely abolished nowadays. Going to KJ, they do it in Washington Heights, here at Tetzaron. But even a lot of the authentic Yakis Kahilas don't really do that anymore. But what's the reason to do Adon Olam after davening? And it's to proclaim that the Master of the Universe has called us together to pray in unison, no matter the difficulty. And this is roughly around when the Crusades began. 1520, the Crusades started in Germany. This was 1515. So just to go a little bit of a time period. And just to put that to a modern perspective, we have a different kind of Makifu. We're not being attacked, Baruch Hashem. But we're definitely not as complacent as we were. And to have a sense of tradition, which a lot of people, including myself, don't have today, is definitely admirable. And that the German Jews, the Yekkis, really, really are rooted in tradition. I actually went to a Yekki minyan for Aravit tonight, seeing the whole Maariv. And one of the reasons that the Rosh gives for that is because you want to usher out the Shabbos slowly. You don't want to, say every third word and just speak. That it's not the proper way to usher out the Shabbos. Now, I digress. I think Elo ve'elo zivri Chaim, but that is what the German post scheme holds. Another very interesting, again, we're going to go more in depth the next time, but another very, very interesting German minhag, which is one of the more common minhagim of minhag Ashkenaz, is, and I think we're going to end with this, is a very important and a very long discourse, is on a regular Ashkenaz or a Sephardi individual name, so either end, if it has a chance in with Hashem, or Hashem, but you're going down at Hashem's name. You're not, either staying on the same level or going up. And Hashem deserves kavod. So the Ekesh Shapov scheme, going back to the year 904, with a man by the name of the Ramah, who is also a very big Jewish posek. The Ramah, who is also from Germany, held, he's actually from the city of Mainz, this is next door to, next town over from Frankfurt on Main. Amnon of Mainz was from Frankfurt. Was from Mainz. He was the author of Unasan Telkath. That's the stuff that was 1540, time of the Crusades. But going back to the reason why Yakis has a tradition to go up on Ashanti, because the Ramah held that it really is not kavod Hashem to go down on Hashem's name. If you think about it, we're supposed to have so much reverence of Hashem, so much respect of Hashem, we're supposed to honor Hashem. Hashem is the Malchut Shemayim. Is it truly respectful to go down in a tavir on Hashem's name? And of course, the poskim argues this. The Vilna Gaon actually also, interestingly enough, held that Hashem's name should be up and not down. And his reason given is because when we go down on Hashem's name, suffice to say, whether we mean it or not, we are not giving the proper respect. Now, again, there are a lot of poskim who disagree. We're not here to necessarily argue, but we're here to learn about one of the only types of Jews that that are rooted in minhag and tradition and the Torah left, and that is the Jews of Ashkenaz, the German Jews. Again, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim, I cannot stress enough that I am not here to bash other minhagim, but rather to shed light on minhagim that may seem strange to the point that people laugh about it. And it's something that should not be joked about, but rather something that should be appreciated and admired. And that minhag in particular is so rooted in halacha to the point that people, the Vilna Gaon who's from Lithuania, adopted it in his city. And it is definitely a very respectful minhag. And I think we are going to end there. Shavua Tov, to be continued the next time, next week, Eli Nyman will Lee Nader be giving his share, which is always amazing to listen to. I heard his share last week. It was unbelievable. I don't know how to top it, but hopefully you guys enjoyed. Have a wonderful evening. Shavua Tov.